This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's a lovely day. It's Thursday, kind of a mini Friday, because tomorrow is a public holiday.
Yeah!
What, you don't like my song? I just wrote it now.
I actually think it's so creative.
Oh, thanks.
So accurate.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right, everybody. Hey, I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday. Lots to catch up on, though. And today's going to be a busy day. It's going to be action-packed, bumper to bumper. I'll tell you why. We have Justice Malala coming in at the Burning Platform at 7 o'clock to give us all the most important issues in the whole country. We've also got Melanie Bala coming in.
She's nice.
Yes, Mel Bala is going to join us after 8 o'clock. Veteran broadcaster, 2 decades in television and radio. Former Metro FM radio news anchor on the Breakfast Drive show, The First Avenue. And we'll talk about her career, her life, all the things that she's got up to. There is a lot with Melanie Bala that's worth discussing. And she's, quite apart from that, she's just so smooth. She's just so polished.
We must also talk to her about motherhood.
Yes.
Because she tweeted not too long ago, and it got such a positive response, where she was basically saying that mothers are so afraid to admit that sometimes they hate their children because it's difficult.
Yeah.
And there were so many mothers who climbed in there and they said, thank you, Melanie, for allowing us to vent how we truly feel about this role.
You know, that's such an interesting thing that happens there, and it happens every now and then, even though I despise a lot of the things that I see on social media. When there's honesty, when there's truth, when you just speak the truth, not your truth, but the truth, like you see, tell the truth, and of course it's from your experience, oh, people love it. And it can have tremendously positive ramifications, even if you're saying something that isn't particularly popular or that isn't the line that everybody's meant to follow. Man, it goes down well. People love that.
Yeah. As soon as people see one person talking about something that's been bothering them, they feel like, oh, so it is a safe space for me to also vent my frustrations. And that's exactly what happened in this instance.
Well, she also posted this thing on social media last year when she and Unati had both split from their husbands.
Yes.
And she put up this picture of the two of them with this caption, same WhatsApp group. And it could have also been that they used to be on the, you know, on the morning show together and all kinds of other stuff. So there's just plenty. She's got a good sense of humor about herself.
Which means she's smart, because we've all worked out that if you have a sense of humor, you're a clever individual.
Right.
If you're humorless,
well,
then you're a bottom feeder.
It's funny you say that, because usually if you follow the humor, you do find better quality people, generally. The humorless people are I've said this before 100 times, I really don't have any kind of hatred for other human beings. I don't wake up in the morning and go, you know, these people must go, this person is a problem, this person should die and the world would be a better place. I really don't think that way. A lot of the time I get very heated and passionate about things, but I don't carry a lot of negative emotion. It kind of washes off. And if I am cross with someone, it lasts about 15 minutes and then I'm back to normal. But the point of me bringing that up is that if you are stuck in a room and there are 10 people in it and 5 of them are fun, happy people who laugh a lot and have a sense of humor, you want to be with them. Even if the humorless people have among them the smartest people, the richest people, the most beautiful people, you'd still rather be with the humorous people, right?
Every time.
The really, really top quality people by every other standard that we could use to measure people happen to be in the other group. Humorless people are the only group that I really reserve a little bit of suspicion of, just generally. And there are people who can't help it. They're just born very serious people. Who knows? No, they are. But what a way to live, huh?
I know.
What a way to live, to not be able to laugh at stuff. And everything's really funny when you think about it from a distance. Everything. If you were watching your own life, the most stupid things that upset you so much, if you were watching it from afar, you'd laugh at them. Even in your own life. Anyway, speaking of which, I saw such an interesting story that Matt and Trey from South Park have they were at this gala dinner in Hollywood, and they were being interviewed on stage, and the two of them came out with this massive revelation, which is probably the biggest revelation that anyone's ever made in Hollywood. Trey Parker and Matt Stone have come out as
Transsexual.
No, that's not a big deal in Hollywood. Are you kidding?
They wouldn't be self-Democrats.
No.
Oh.
Republicans.
Oh.
What?
Yeah. Trey Parker and Matt Stone said they're Republicans. They sent shockwaves through the entertainment industry by announcing in an award ceremony that they were Republicans. They were receiving a Freedom Award from the people of the American Way and needed to reaffirm in front of the audience of high-profile entertainment insiders, no, we're seriously Republicans. After the audience became uncomfortable and chuckled at the concept of right-wingers among them, Larry Elder tweeted about the crowd's reaction, saying, Trey Parker and Matt Stone of South Park asked me to introduce them when they received a Freedom Award from Norman Lear's organization. After they graciously accepted, they said, we're Republicans. Nervous laughter. They repeated, no, seriously, we're Republicans. Now, these are the two guys who've done a lot to dispel crazy right-wing stuff like Scientology or religion generally or Mormonism or any of that stuff. And they attack Donald Trump mercilessly on their show. And yet they're Republicans. You see, you can get people who have a sense of humor on both sides.
But Gareth, does it necessarily mean they're ardent Trump fans?
No, of course
exactly.
not.
Exactly. That's what people think. But the moment you say that, you've got this affliction.
This is the problem with everybody in the world, is that everyone wants to box everyone else. So they take one belief that you have, and they go, well, that's that person. Which is crazy. And I always say the idea of being a liberal or a conservative or a radical or a reactionary is so bizarre, because there are very few among us who are actually at the extremes. Very few. Most of us don't walk around with big posters saying, abortion is absolutely the only way, or abortion should be mandatory. And on the other side, people going that this is, you know, taking a life. And you don't see those people on the street every day, because they've got real lives. They have jobs, they have family, they have friends, they have they occasionally will have a party. You know, these are normal people, balanced, sane individuals. But online, people seem like they're lunatics. And we want to box them. I had the most fascinating conversation about this with Riyad Musa, actually. If you missed the conversation last week, it's worth listening to, because he's tired of being called Muslim. Not that he's embarrassed about being a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. But it isn't his only quality.
He's tired of being called a doctor, because he hasn't practiced as a doctor for a long time. But people, when they hear he's a doctor, they put him in a certain box. And then he's tired of being called a comedian, because he said, I'm so much more than that. I do movies. I'm an actor. I read a lot. I'm interested in the world. I'm a philosopher. I'm a metaphysician. You know, all of these things. He said, people just want to put you in one box because it suits them.
You're a woman, therefore X.
Correct.
You are black, therefore Y.
Correct. Which is so goddamn patronizing, and let alone racist and sexist.
You know?
This is where I have a problem with, like, identity politics. It's like, that should not be what defines you. I look at you as an individual, and if you've got more qualities and characteristics than I expected, I'm usually quite pleasantly surprised. If you've got less, I'm kind of worried. You know, that's just how it goes. Anyway, so Matt and Trey from South Park are Republicans. Shock, horror.
It's interesting to find out why they decided to do this, and particularly at this foundation, and particularly now as well, where really they've spoken out because they want to show that, listen, we have been using our lives, as Ben was saying a little earlier. So, like, this is who we are, and we're complex, and we're more than just one-sided.
Right.
And saying that last year alone, they just noticed that a lot of comedy shows would be making jokes about President Trump, and that had just gotten boring, and just wasn't showing a wide spectrum of people. So now they're just like, actually, we're sick of it, because it's either, and this is what Parker said directly, he says, it's either you're like Michael Moore, or you want to freaking go overseas and shoot Iraqis. So it's like all, it's
and
you're
maybe you're neither of those. Maybe you're actually a sensible you know, kind of middle-of-the-road human being.
In the middle, balanced.
Well, this is it. I mean, most of us are not. Yesterday on Country Duty, they had advocate Ngukai Thobi, who's written a book called The Land Is Ours, and he was one of the junior advocates in my case against Mnet 2 years ago, and he's a very, very smart individual. But again, he could be reduced to being a land activist. He could be reduced to being an EFF guy. He could be reduced to being an advocate of the bar. He could be reduced to many things, but he's a smart guy. And he'd probably make you laugh, and he'd probably make you think. Take him from whence he comes, and don't judge.
Okay, devil's advocate time.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to call bullshit on you looking at people as individuals.
Okay.
Just think about a simple scenario in this country. The kind of reaction that you get from people when you reveal you've either voted for ANC, DA, or EFF. There is immediate judgment depending on how you feel about each political party.
I completely agree. Which is why, and I think it's true for, certainly for you and me, because we've discussed this before, that we don't like any of the political parties. And when people ask me, who do you vote for? I'm like, I honestly told them in the beginning that I voted for COPE, remember?
Yes.
And I voted for them in that election, and I've been bearing that cross all my life.
Those were dark days.
I did admit last year that, Musiwa Lekota was actually one of the people who was making me proud in Parliament, right?
Yeah.
And he has continued to do so. So in the long run, maybe I wasn't wrong to have voted for COPE all those times. But I do not believe any of those parties represents me effectively. And I know you don't either.
I hate all of them.
Yeah. So, yes, you can say that. But I don't really... If someone says they're a staunch EFF, if they actually say that about themselves, or if they say, I am a solid DA support, no matter what, the DA... I'm very suspicious of that.
You see, that's where the judgment comes in. We can't help it.
No, but that's not them being an individual. That's they've decided they want to be known for who they vote for. You understand? Like if they walk into the room and they say to me, I think that you must give the land back. I know what I'm dealing with, but that's an individual. If they say to me, everything the EFF says is what I believe. I'm like, but you don't even know what the EFF says every day. They change their mind on stuff. How could you let them make the decision for you? It's like people who say, well, the Pope is divine. He's always right. How am I meant to figure that out? Like, let's be honest here. You don't know what the Pope's thinking. And you're just going to attach your opinions to his?
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean, I get the same vibe out of people who are staunchly political party supporters. You know, I will die ANC.
Mm.
You're like, wow, what a thing to say. So what if the ANC really went backwards and brought Jacob Zuma back and said, no, this is the guy. A lot of people did in the ANC. I don't have respect for that. I don't have to.
You're focusing so hard on the ANC, you're missing on so much actual life.
Right.
Like, there's life to live out there. There's purpose to be had.
Right.
But you want to pin everything to a political party.
Right. It's very shallow. It means you're not doing the work yourself.
Well, what a waste of a life. I'm not saying it because I'm anti-ANC or EFF or anyone. It just seems like an absolute waste of life. Like, you'll never get to appreciate a sunrise, a love affair, a good book, a new hobby, because you're so dedicated to being ANC for life. That's just stupid.
I don't have a disagreement with it. By the way, a couple of things I was meant to tell you yesterday that we didn't catch up on. Sorry to change the subject, Ben. Mm-hmm. But I met this guy called Richard Noble at the British Trade Commission on Tuesday night.
To a car maker.
He is the guy who is behind the Bloodhound SSC, that 1,000-mile-per-hour car that they're testing out on this place in the Northern Cape called the Huckskeen Pun. It's going to drive at 1,000 miles an hour. Do you know how? Goodness. That's like the new land speed record they're looking to break.
Pretty much.
I wonder what effect that has on your internal organs.
Yes. I mean, this is...
Makes you a bit nervous.
You can't have tires on this thing because tires would come off at that speed. So they have these metal... The pan, by the way, has to be completely flat, which this one is. And if it has a rock on it, it could send this thing hurtling out of control and smashing into things. Not that there's anything to smash into out there, but the ground. And they actually got the whole local community. They paid the local community to help them clear the piece of track they need. They removed tons and tons and tons of rocks, and now this pan is ready for them to do this land speed record, which they're going to do in October, I think. We got a couple of attempts, but can you imagine the... Now, there's a visionary. These guys have this idea that they're going to break the 1,000-mile-per-hour land speed record, and they've made it happen by hook or by crook. And they found the money, and they found someone who's crazy enough to drive the car.
Jeez.
And it's just incredible, right? So we spoke to him. He's one of the interviews we'll be playing out soon and let you know about. Another thing is, and I haven't told any of you this yet because I'm still busy umming and ahhing, but it's pretty much going to be decided today.
Oh.
Whoa,
I don't know what's going on.
No, wait a minute. We're not ready.
Especially when he says I haven't told any of you.
Hold my hand.
Okay, wait.
Okay, go.
Right. Wait, so, is it good or bad?
Wait, you are eloping.
No, there's no.
The two of you, everybody, this is ridiculous.
Just relax.
Buddy, you've been this excited about, like, since common.
I don't know whether to be excited or to brace myself for the work.
You're starting a political party.
Can we eat it?
No, there's going to be a big roast of someone we all know and love.
I know.
Have you heard about this roast? Do you guys know about this?
No.
So there's going to be a big roast that Comedy Central are doing.
Can you speak about this?
That's why I'm saying.
Is it the roast of you?
No. But I'm going to be the roast master general for the roast for this person. Who's like, he's one of our family, really.
John Flismas?
No.
Are we open to guesses?
No, I'm not going to tell you.
You can guess as much as you want.
I can't tell you.
Dave Levinson. No, that'd be too easy.
He isn't a comedian per se, but he's hilarious.
Jeremy Maggs.
I can't tell you. It's not Jeremy Maggs, though, that's for sure. He's one of the people who we
love.
Yeah.
I know Choa Gumbi.
When he comes in here, he makes us laugh. He says outrageous things. He lives an outrageous life. Outrageous.
Adrian Grunewald.
Wow. Who is that?
Well, you know, your guess has been well.
All right, but that's the gist. So they've asked me to do this, and I'm going to make the decision, make the final call.
Oh, you are still not committed?
Yeah,
these
roasts can go either way. You know, they can be really good. And believe me, if it was roasting someone like Steve Hofmeyr, I wouldn't want to do it. Just not because I have any problem with the guy. I just don't think it would be as funny as it could be. This guy is someone who I think is funny, and I know him pretty well.
What are the roast master duties again?
I start the show.
Yeah.
I have to corral all the other people in.
But you also have to be funny.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're gonna write some mean stuff. Don't you worry. That's gonna be fun.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll get into this, and then I'll fill you in.
It's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
months,
it's
2 months.
I think it's in April.
That's now. April starts next week.
Yes, exactly. So there's that. Lots of exciting stuff going on. What else do I want?
Yeah, keep it at that. That's.
Yeah, no, I can't tell you more about that. No.
But Tuesday night was cool. Tuesday night we went to...
Tell me about the... Wait. The British Trade Commission thing we'll get to in a second. Tell me about this movie last night. We had a movie premiere. Five Fingers for Marseille, which Sia was at and Ben was at last night.
Well, let me just set the tone. Sia set it, so that's the tone. And
what does that mean?
Sia was sporting like a half Rick Ross kind of beard last night, and he rolled in there and he was making jokes. The women were laughing.
A Rick Ross kind of beard.
He was like making straight jokes, and he had the place like in the palm of his hand.
Making straight jokes.
Seriously, Alex, outrageous. Like, different kind of guy after dark.
I just don't even know what that means, Ben. But I'll take that as you being so kind and complimentary, so thank you.
But, like, when do you get to go to a premiere where the lead actor then gets up in front of you, addresses the audience, tells you about the movie, tells you about some experiences, which Sia conducted very well, and then there it is. There's the movie.
Well, the reason I know it went well is because I saw Daniela post this morning on, I think it was Instagram. She said, this is, like, she loved this movie. Sure. She said it was just great, and this Vuyo de Bula is the most talented guy. She loved him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that you could just see he was made for the big screen. Like, I'm sure he can do anything in the world of acting, but you see him on a movie like that, the way it's set, the way it's shot, and he's a proper movie star. And the whole movie, it's so difficult to describe. And knowing how I do things, I'm not going to try to describe it because I will give away spoilers. But it is brilliant. It is so well put together. It is such a... It's just so, like... It's so hard to describe.
Like, we had one
idea. It's just a solid movie. It's like, it's so solid in every single way that you can't help but like talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Because so you keep thinking about it after the movie.
Now, that's a powerful movie. When you walk out of the cinema and you're like still talking about that.
I'd have to say, I had a certain idea of what to expect with the movie. Like, oh, okay, well, they say it's a Western and it was shot in SA.
And also, when people say it's a local movie, everybody goes, oh, shit.
All of that is totally out of the door.
Right. Put it this way. It being a local movie is the strongest point of view because it's a story that you never see and you'll never see on this scale, this production value. So in that respect, you watch it and go, wow, this is completely unique. And it's an amazing African story. The actors were incredible.
Mm-hmm. And was shot amazingly well.
So
amazingly well.
Like, it's difficult to compare it to anything, but if you understand what a Quentin Tarantino movie is and how it grabs you, it keeps you like engaged the whole way through and it keeps shocking you. Think of that on a local sphere, but take it in a slightly different and more unique direction. And that's, like, again, it's just so hard to describe, but it's not an easy movie to watch.
It's not, but it draws you in. I've never, and we've done a couple of these movie screenings before, I've never sat in a room like that and everyone watches and right at the end, everyone started clapping.
Yeah, clapping.
I was
at
like,
the end.
What is going on? So listen,
now,
6th
that's
of
quite
April,
a big deal. People didn't even do that for Shape of Water.
No, not at all. 6th of April comes out nationally.
Yeah, so when I say it's not an easy watch, it's probably because your expectations will not, they don't match. It's just such an interesting movie. So I totally suggest going watch it.
Apparently, there's a preview on Showmax already for this roast, so a lot of people are already guessing who it is. I might as well be able to tell you guys. I'm not going to keep you in suspense. It's Somizi.
Okay.
It's going to be the roast of Somizi, so that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the things he's going to say about everyone else?
Oh. And he just got engaged?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be like a feature on Bunang's book?
Oh my God, that's a good
Well,
idea.
They already in the teaser that was released, there was something like a little sly comment.
There should just be a roast of Bunang's book. The book should just sit there on like a chair.
Oh, shit.
That's a good idea. I'll include that in my act. I'll steal that and say, give you credit, Ben. All right.
You can just have a spare chair on the far side.
Yes, with a book on it.
Everyone's looking at
Bunang's book, yeah. All right, when it comes to innovation, you know that we try our best to be at the very forefront of great technology, and that's another thing I've got to tell you. Just remind me, we've got a new way for you to interact with us,
which
we're launching today. It'll be very exciting. But don't take our word for it when it comes to this stuff. We've created the Cliff Central Unwired Earphones and Stuff magazine, whom we in South Africa love because they're a credible, a powerful, sensible source when it comes to the stuff around gadgets and around technology and all the rest. If you're a podcast fan, they say you should have a pair already or perhaps a spare in the car based on the price alone. Didn't you take some to the movie last night?
Mm-hmm.
And people liked them?
Yep, they were on sale.
Good. The Cliff Central Unwired Earphones connect to any smartphone, laptop, or tablet for listening to podcasts, music, videos, even phone calls. With over 10 hours of battery life, built-in microphone, 3-button controller, and an ergonomic design so it doesn't fall out of your ears when you're running around, plus brilliant sound and build quality, Cliff Central Unwired Earphones are the perfect match to your favorite podcasts. Best of all, they're only 550 Rand. How much, Ben?
550 Rand, Gareth.
That's right. Discover by visiting cliffcentral.com. How much, Mubs?
550 Rand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, did you know how much they cost?
I think it's 550 Rands.
You know what? I think you're right.
Ah, yeah. There we go.
Yeah, in fact, yes, it says here 550 Rand. So get a look at those. And by the way, people are talking, I saw on social media yesterday, because we had a special going on. There were only 499 for the day yesterday, which we do from time to time. Take a lot, and Cliff Central put on a special price yesterday for anyone who happened to be online shopping. And I saw someone saying, oh, but there is a wire. So there's a wire that connects the two earphones, but that goes behind your head and it keeps those two together, and you can wear it as a necklace because they're magnets, so they actually click together in the front. But that wire doesn't go into your phone.
Yeah, you're not wired to your device. Yeah. You're free of your device.
Right. In other words, that wire is it's on its own. It's inert. It's separate from the device. Got it? Because some people are going, oh, you should call them semi-wired earphones. Come on, listen. They're unwired, all right? You use the Bluetooth. Bluetooth. You use Bluetooth to connect to your phone or your tablet or your laptop. Got it? Good. If you're talking about Somizi, it was in the news, so you're welcome to talk about it, says somebody. You are roasting Somizi. I saw it on a news feed. Lenny Moloi says it's Somizi Mhlongo, and there's a preview on Showmax, and then someone else saying it's Somizi Ben. Ben, how ironic is it that SBW stands for Smith Bancroft Warner, as well as for Sonny Bill Williams? Is it just a coincidence?
I never thought of that. It's hilarious.
There we go. All right, and then this, just before we get to the five things you need to know this morning, because this is quite cool. We're happy to announce that we have fully implemented Telegram into our system for communicating with the studio. You know, someone once said, wouldn't it be nice if everybody in our community was able to jump on board on a message board and be able to interact with each other and not just send messages to the studio, which we get through WhatsApp and we get through Twitter and everything else. So your WhatsApp number has been used to sign all of us up on Telegram. The cool thing with Telegram is that you, if you already have the app installed, will be notified that you've joined the next time that you log in. When you send a message to us, it appears instantly on the platform as opposed to a few minutes delay with WhatsApp. Another cool feature is that you can respond to these messages within the dashboard that we have in the studio. And we've also created a campaign to catch all the messages so that you can see what other people's messages are. Isn't that cool?
That's very nice.
So it's Cliff Central Telegram, and it's on the same number that you've been using for WhatsApp, 079-748-2090. And how is it different from WhatsApp? Well, unlike WhatsApp, Telegram is a cloud-based messenger with seamless sync. As a result, you can access your messages from several devices at once, including tablets and computers, and share in an unlimited number of photos, videos, and files of up to 1.5 gigs each. The Telegram API is open, and it welcomes developers to create their own Telegram apps. And it's for everyone who wants fast and reliable messaging. A lot of people I know have switched to Telegram because they don't think that WhatsApp's safe because Zuckerberg owns it.
Ooh. Oh, I forgot about that.
And it's free forever. There are no ads and there are no subscription fees. It's got an open API, which means that developers can add to it and take away from it as they like. It's private. They're heavily encrypted and they self-destruct messages. It's fast. It's faster than any other application on the internet. It's distributed, so servers are spread worldwide for security and speed. They're not all housed in Mark Zuckerberg's basement. And I think those are good reasons to take a look at Telegram. So now we've got that on our platform as part of what we're going to be using to communicate with you. And I'd love you to join in by using that same number. If you don't already use it on WhatsApp, then use it on Telegram, 079-748-2090. By the way, Telegram... Mm-hmm. is the one that someone who I know who is a ruthless man around town and has many, many women on his index. He is constantly sexting these various women off of Telegram. He says it's way safer.
What?
That's what he told me. Nice, that's when I first heard about...
That's the selling point.
That's when I heard about Telegram for the first time.
That's when everyone can be involved.
See? Anyone can. By the way, let's remember a golden moment on the show while we're doing a little bit of history here, talking about WhatsApp and Telegram and all the rest. Here's a great moment from CliffCentral.com history, a great moment from the Gareth Cliff Show, Ben using his words. CliffCentral.com.
But as you know, Klopp's cock is on the chopping board.
Wow.
Klopp's, yeah, because I mean the guy...
That's a lot of cock for you, Ben. That's a lot of cock.
My mouth was full before I knew it there. Klopp's... Try to say that five times. Klopp's cock is on the chopping board.
Try and say it just once.
Yeah, you can say it once. Yeah. CliffCentral.com.
Nice.
Isn't it weird? Ever since I said that, or tried to say that, that team's been doing so well.
I know.
Klopp's cock's safe now.
Oh. Please don't attempt to say it again.
Yeah, please.
All right, let's turn our attention on this Thursday, which is actually like a mini Friday, to Mabale Moloi, who's got the latest things in the five things you need to know today. These are the most important stories that you will encounter during the course of your day. Mabs, take it away.
Well, quite a precedence was set yesterday in court. And a lot of people having a lot to say about this on social media with regards to free speech versus hate speech. But a South African court of law officially found someone guilty and sentenced them to prison for hate speech. Vicky Momberg has been handed 2 years direct imprisonment for her racist rant after the court found her guilty in four counts of criminal injuria. Momberg was caught on camera shouting racial slurs at a black police officer who was trying to help her.
I'm not saying it. All I'm saying is he's...
This was after she was involved in an alleged smash and grab. And then in her judgment, Magistrate Pravina Ragunandan told the court...
Ragunandan?
Well, I mean, I butchered it, but I tried.
It's
anyway,
okay, Mubs. It happens to the best.
Yes, thank you, Ben. The magistrate told the court that Momberg had not shown remorse or taken responsibility for her actions. So she was sentenced to 3 years in prison with 1 year suspended. And her defense obviously say that they're going to appeal the sentence. But yeah, a lot of people saying, whoa, new rules to play by, apparently, in this country.
Wow.
Yeah. And then in an entirely different court, Czech fugitive Radovan Krejčí was sentenced to 15 years in prison in his home country. The appeal court in the Czech Republic yesterday confirmed a jail term handed to him in absentia for plotting the murder of a customs official and stripping the assets of a state-owned oil company.
So can't they have him back?
He is currently serving a 35-year sentence here.
Yeah, but we'll commute that. We'll cut that down. Just take him away. Take him back to the Czech Republic, please.
Here in South Africa, his transgressions were for attempted murder and kidnapping. So, I don't know. Do you want him in a South African jail cell or a Czech Republican jail cell?
This is where you send him to the island of plastic. Because there's two countries that want them, so put them in neutral there. 35 years on the island of plastic.
Okay. And then wait, what happens again on the island of plastic? What's the punishment? What do they do?
They just got to lie in the plastic and get prodded by porpoises and stuff.
No, the porpoises die if they go near the island of plastic.
Exactly. That's why they're getting prodded, because it's
a corpse of a porpoise.
I mean, I understand that, you know, things need to be affected.
All right. I say we put... Now... This Vicky Momberg is a very unsavory. Did you see how she was shouting and carrying on? Like, she was full of hatred right till the moment of sentencing. Did you see her?
Mm-mm. I didn't see the actual footage, but allegedly she was like spewing all kinds of
the whole time
slurs.
It's like, you blacks,
multiple of
you
them.
Fucking blacks. That's all she was saying. But anyway, look, as unsavory a human being as she is, for the very same reasons that I would rather know what kind of a person I'm dealing with than have you pretend to be my friend when you're not, I kind of like racists to let us know they're racists. Call me an idiot. I would rather have my and every other South African's feelings hurt by some horrible person like this, so we know what we're dealing with, than have her pretend to be a Rainbow Nation citizen. But she actually hates us, or hates half of us, or hates three quarters of us. I've always said this, and I'll continue to say it, and I know it's going to be interpreted by some people as me saying she should be allowed to be such a horrible person. And yes, she should be allowed to be a horrible person. Assholes exist. Like, the world is full of assholes. How? If we're going to punish, we can't punish you for being an asshole. Society will find ways of punishing you anyway. If we're going to try to do something positive, the worst thing you can do is throw assholes into jail, because they become even more embittered assholes. So I'm going to teach her a lesson. What you do with someone like that is you keep showing her the error of her ways. And society does that better than prison does. Just saying, I don't think you should ever be locked up for something you say. Really. Ever.
Yeah, I mean, what this is going to do is it's really going to escalate the debate of free speech versus hate speech, because, you know, now a court of law has said,
exactly,
well, we find you guilty of hate speech, and therefore these are the repercussions.
And don't forget what our guest on, was it Monday or Tuesday? When was Thor here?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. Thor Halvorsen came in. He's the CEO of the Human Rights Foundation. He came in and he said this line. I'm going to try not to butcher it. He said, every time you give something to government to do for you, you give them something to do to you. So the moment there's a precedent in our courts that allows you to be punished for something you've said, they can use that against you. Now, if you say something that a certain judge or a politician or someone who's powerful doesn't like, they can use this case as precedent. Don't think that this isn't going to apply to people like Julius when he says something like, we're going to cut the throat of whiteness, because that's exactly what's going to happen now. All the right-wing organizations are now going to say, well, we're going to take Julius to court on the same basis.
And then he will have to be charged as well.
Correct. And then sentenced. What happens? We all go to jail because we have different opinions? Not a good idea. And I'm not by any means saying that racism is just an opinion. It's a problem. It's a very serious problem. And Vicky Momberg is not the kind of person who I think any kindly, decent person would want to spend a bit of time with. But this is to jail someone for what they say. I mean, it's only one step away from jailing you for what you think. And I don't know if that's a good path for us to go down.
You know, where I find it tricky is, so for example, if I was encountering a Vicky Momberg and let's say it happened to be on a day where I was just in a bad mood and I didn't have time for bullshit, a punch to the face might have crossed my mind to say, okay, well, this is how I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to punch you in the face. The only problem with that is that Vicky Momberg is then allowed to take me to court and charge me for punching her in the face. So then...
Yeah, but like, when you tell your story, a lot of people are going to be on your side.
Yeah, no, but then in that instance, then I'm the one in the wrong. So it's just like, it's tricky. Like, how do we deal with these people? Well, because you say that society will deal with people like her.
Well, she will be. She'll be excluded. I mean, she's a pariah now. She's on the outside. When last did you hear Penny Sparrow pulling off a good sale in Southern KwaZulu-Natal, right? I mean, it's just not going to happen. Your life is screwed. And for good reason. If you make yourself antisocial, people are going to be antisocial to you. And I don't think that this kind of behavior is ever good. I mean, it's the same way as you see road rage, right?
Mm.
And I believe that when this whole incident happened, there was an attempted hijacking with her, so she was furious. And,
yeah.
You know, we could all, when we get emotional, do and say terrible things to each other. And I'm not excusing it at all, because the magistrate must have had good reason for finding that she was outside of, like, using that as a good excuse. But if you look at road rage and you see how people behave, we all lose our shit sometimes and embarrass ourselves. And if your embarrassment includes a whole healthy dose of racism, what you need is rehabilitation. Like, you need to meet more black people. You need to spend more time integrating yourself into society, being a useful, positive individual, and reforming your beliefs. Because that's the problem here. And you don't get that by sending people to prison.
Exactly.
Just saying, by no means am I saying that this is a wrong judgment, should be overturned. I don't agree with anyone being sent to jail for what they say. Anything. Even if it's the most horrible, offensive stuff. Holocaust denial. That kind. You still shouldn't go to jail. And we need to know. But we need people who talk like that and who think like that to be able to speak freely, so we know where they are, so we know what we're dealing with. I don't want to walk out in society and have people with forked tongues telling me, oh no, I believe in racial harmony and I believe in togetherness, and meanwhile behind closed doors they're busy saying how much they hate each other. I don't like those people. That's hypocrisy. That's much, much worse than racism, because hypocrisy is a great cover for racism.
You know, I'm not so fazed by people hating each other a little bit. Like, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, it's kind of been happening since day one.
Since day one. And this notion that we're all suddenly one day going to be capable of being better, that's a fucking fairy tale. It's time we start being honest about things here. Yeah. It's a fairy tale.
No, but it has got better. That's just not true. We are better than we've ever been. I mean, think about how much suspicion there was between races, not even a generation ago. There was huge suspicion. Of course, there's still pockets of people who are going to believe forevermore that they're either better or worse than another race group. And there are actual white supremacists in the world. And there are actual black supremacists in the world.
This guy should watch basketball or the Olympics.
What?
What?
How? How? Like white supremacists.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is Ben's argument that actually you can't
no,
be white.
No, I mean, within Ben's world, sports solves, solves everything.
Well, guys, sports, everything. Sports are great, give him a chance. Sports are a great reflection on what the world is, because ultimately, that's all we're trying to do. We've all contrived this, this have a job and have all this kind of stuff. We are meant to just run, throw, break, hit, and sport formalizes all of that. Sports formalizes who we are actually meant to be as humans.
Oh.
So if you ever want to see what society's doing, go to that. Like,
is there anything else you want to throw in, Mubs?
Oh, yes. Just that a U.S. judge yesterday rejected Saudi Arabia's bid to dismiss lawsuits claiming that it helped plan the 9/11 attacks and should pay billions of dollars in damages to victims. That's Donald Trump's favorite...
how much money?
Billions.
Billions and billions and billions and billions.
So the Saudi government have long denied involvement in the attacks in which hijacked planes crashed into New York's World Trade Center, the Pentagon just outside Washington, D.C., and a Pennsylvania field. Nearly 3,000 people died. Lawyers for Saudi Arabia did not immediately respond to requests for comment on the decision. At a Saudi stock market event in New York, asked whether the court decision would have a negative impact on Saudi investment, they declined to comment. But yes, seemingly the American government wanting to hold Saudi Arabia partly responsible for those attacks.
Interesting.
Interesting indeed.
Imagine suing a whole country. Like, you're a judge and has to decide whether a whole country's on the hook or off the hook.
I didn't even know that you could do that.
Yeah, this wouldn't have happened on Crooked Hillary's watch.
And what is the punishment for a country being found guilty of something?
I don't know.
What is the penance?
I hope it's bad. That's all I know. Bitcoin trading at $7,616.50. Ethereum a lowly and pathetic, miserable, sad, and pretty much the most awful $422.67. And then, if you're watching any of the others, even worse news. Let's get to Ben and see what's going on in the sport. Ben, over to you. It's time to find out what's really happening in the world. All right? Take it away, Ben.
So the ever-worsening crisis of the Australian cricketers. Well, that's all the news is, really. It's big news. Now all the sponsors have kind of made their presence felt with this. So David Warner, LG, have given him the flick, as have Asics Australia, as has health food company Sanitarium. They've all said,
Sanitarium,
David Warner, we don't want anything to do with you. And then Magellan Financial Group Limited, who is the title sponsor of the Australian Cricket Board, of the whole team, they've said that's it. They've got 2 years on their deal still, but they said, bollocks to this, we're out of here, we don't want to be associated with any of you cheaters. But this is what happens. We all saw this with Lance Armstrong. As soon as he was sort of found guilty of all these different things, all his sponsors kind of just left him. And that's what happens to cheaters, unfortunately. But I'm just amazed that David Warner had so many sponsors to start with. He's the most unmarketable little git I've ever seen in my life. And he's got like four or five big brands who were shelling out money to have his face, his sullen face on their products.
Good
what
point,
happens, I guess. So Boof Lehman finally had something to say yesterday.
Yeah,
he addressed the press, but no South Africans were allowed to attend the press conference. He only addressed the Australian media.
He wouldn't allow South African media in.
Sometimes you just have to score an own goal in the PR sense. And Boof Lehman seems to be doing it. He was very, very quiet the whole way through the process. And now another article has surfaced. If you go into Cricket Info right now, obviously that's the best cricket site in the entire world. Boof Lehman apparently is in the clear because he said, while all this was going on, what the fuck is going on? And that was what he actually went to the integrity board with.
I said, what the fuck is going on?
So James Sutherland and the rest of this committee that's come out, they said, Boof, what happened? And he said, all I said was, what the fuck's going on? I don't know what was going on. And then he said that he got in the walkie-talkie.
What the fuck are you saying?
And basically told the 12th man to go and find out what the fuck is going on. Boof, being Boof to the very end, has now saved his own bacon by saying something so Boof-like. And they lapped it up. They're like, yeah, all right, Boof, that sounds about right. You had no idea what was going on. I mean, what's this guy doing in team meetings? Is he watching porn on his phone?
Probably. fat.
I still don't believe these guys just somehow decided, like, guys, we're a bit behind in this third test. Let's rough up the ball with sandpaper. The coach has to know about this stuff. I played yesterday that clip where he was talking about reverse swing and ball tampering very, very flippantly. But now he's in the clear because he was then sending messages to James Sutherland saying, what the bloody hell is going on, mate? And they lap the stuff up. Boof, I mean, this guy's got charm. Nothing else. This guy's got a bit of charm. But the fact that he only addressed Australians yesterday, he did not want the South African media at all, that is just very strange. Anyway, Steve Smith left yesterday, and he left Tambo with basically a ring of police around him.
Oh, really?
He was being escorted around like OJ when, you know, back in the day. The guy just plays cricket. That's all he does. He plays with a ball.
That is hilarious.
I know lots of people love sport, me being one of them, but the guy just plays with a ball. That's all he does in life. He's not involved in insider trading. He hasn't stolen someone's dairy farm. He hasn't killed his wife. There's nothing really untoward in the greater scheme of things here, other than he has brought a game into disrepute, which will be fine. We will move on from this. But people were shouting all kinds of abuse at the airport. Look, the police throng was a little bit overdone. I think the more physical harm was coming to him from the policemen. There's like 10 of them around him. Anyway, I'm gonna try and make sense of all of this in some sort of chronological order on the Bounce Show today, 10 a.m. South African time, right here, cliffcentral.com.
Well, you have a lot to talk about.
I do, and I'll play some audio clips. But those are the sort of big headlines for the current moment. It's Nedbank Cup this weekend, so we're into the quarterfinal stage of South Africa's version of the FA Cup. So Ubuntu Cape Town, they've had a good run in this. They'll be playing Free State Star Saturday at 3:30. Maritzburg United will take on Bloem Celtic at 3:30. And then Kaizer Chiefs versus Baroka FC at 8:15. That all Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go ahead from that, April the 1st, of course, is Sunday. So the final quarterfinal match will be Cape Town FC versus Mamelodi Sundowns. So all the big teams are in it. And then there's Ubuntu FC. Ubuntu Cape Town. How can I mess that up? I've been following these guys. I went to Cape Town. Like, it's my team. In the Premier League this weekend, well, we all know that the exciting climax happening. Not Man City, are they going to win? Are they not going to win? It's where they're going to win. So they're away to Everton this Saturday, 6:30 SA time. If they win that, they then have to go and play Man United. So Everton, this isn't a time to try to be heroes. Man City are going to beat you anyway, but let's not try anything too heroic, because everyone in the entire world wants to see Man City versus Man United. And if Man City wins that game, which will be the next match in the Premier League, they'll be the Premier League title champion, everything. Bloody exciting, right? If you like other teams like Crystal Palace, well, they'll be playing Liverpool at 1:30. Man United will be playing Swansea. Otherwise, not too many big games to care about this weekend, mostly because it's all about watching cricket. The cricket will start Friday, Good Friday, which is tomorrow, 30th of March, at the Wanderers, 10 a.m. Obviously, Australia will be without Smith, Bancroft and Warner, the SBW combination. They've all been sent home, so new faces will come into the team, which will obviously significantly weaken the Aussie side. But at the same time, less dickheads around, these guys might actually get along better and play better. But also loads of rugby this weekend, starting from tomorrow at 8:35. Chiefs versus the Highlanders. There's your big New Zealand derby for the weekend. Rebels then host the Hurricanes after that at 10:45. The Blues will host the embattled, troubled, piss poor, whatever you want to call them, Sharks, 8:35. They need to work out their defense and do it quickly. The Brumbies then host the Waratahs at 10:45 on Saturday. And then the Bulls, they'll be hosting the Stormers at Loftus Versfeld, their good old North-South derby. Uh-huh. Bulls versus Stormers, 5:15. And then on Sunday, the Lions will be... That's weird. Sunday, Lions hosting Crusaders, 2:30. I guess, you know, there's all the cricket on the go. It's like the whole Easter weekend. So you can have an Easter Sunday with the Lions at Emirates Airlines Park.
Oh.
2:30 against Crusaders. Always good fun watching the Crusaders. Always good fun watching the Lions. Although they've got some injury worries. That is it for your sport for going into the long weekend.
All right, let's turn our attention to Sia Sangweni, who's got some said by Sia info for us this morning. Not only info, but usually an inspiring story or something to make you feel a little bit better if you're not having the greatest day.
Oh yeah, this morning, this is just a quick feel-good story. I like this. A student was just on the phone and complaining about her financial difficulties, and someone who overheard her conversation thought that maybe they could come in and help her a bit. So Ella Johansson was overwhelmed by her financial problems when a stranger learned of her troubles and decided to leave a little gift while they were on public transport as a student fell asleep. Johansson was on a train from London's King Cross station to Leeds on a Saturday morning when she called her mother and was just venting about her money problems. Now, as a university graduate, she reportedly fell into debt during her final year in college when she had to drop her part-time job and focus on her studies. So Ella was saying that she was rather stressed and she was upset, and she was trying to actually discuss with her mother what had happened to this £35 transfer that was meant to take place in her bank accounts. And so she was speaking to her mother about how little money that she had, and she was worried about her finances. And so then she started getting upset. After hanging up the phone, the 23-year-old fell asleep in her seat, and when she woke up half an hour later, however, she found that someone had left her just a couple of £100 tucked into a napkin on her lap. Now, she says that she just started to cry when she saw this, because after a terrible 18 months where she had lost her father and then both of his parents subsequently, it showed that there is kindness and good people out there in the world. So according to the BBC, the money will keep Johansson's bank account from being overdrafted. And she hopes that her thank you note to the compassionate stranger, which she put on Facebook, has actually reached them, and plans on paying the good deed forward by volunteering for a charity in Leeds. So, you know, it's not this life-changing thing, but the mere fact that this stranger, whoever and wherever they are, could see that the student was particularly worried. So this person thought, how can I make their day a little better? And just gave them a bit of cash, and, you know, it's now been able to make a little difference in their lives. So I think for me, the biggest lesson from this story is really, what can we do today that just makes a little bit of a difference in someone else's life?
Very nice.
That's the Sid by Sia for this morning.
Alrighty. We've got Justice Malala coming in with Burning Platform next. Melanie Bala will be joining us a little bit later on. It's going to be a busy day, and we've got lots to keep you happy. What you gonna do? Ooh. You're my discretional sin.
I feel you on me. This is CliffCentral.com.